This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 265 for Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me tonight, Mr. Lou Page. Welcome, sir.
Howdy.
How are things over at Zombies Ate My Podcast?
Good. We've been Walking Dead is back, so we're trying to get back into our regular routine of discussing that. Mm-hmm. And that's been fun. Unfortunately, tonight we won't be recording. We're going to be shooting for an episode this weekend instead. One of our co-hosts is out of town and was supposed to be home tonight, but due to weather and unforeseen circumstances, he is stuck out of town without a mic. So
that seems to be the par for the course with most people these days. What are you doing today? Well, I'm doing something else other than what I'm supposed to be doing because weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody on the eastern seaboard of North America is just like, boo. So, and we've already broken the first rule. Brockett, you can take a drink or whatever it is that you do when I end up mentioning weather on the show in the first 20 minutes.
Well, we're not talking about the weather. We're just talking about why I'm not doing ZAMP tonight.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah, so they have a twist. Brockett, you can still take a drink. Don't worry about it. So what's been going on since the last time you were on the show? Have you been playing any video games? You been doing anything fun?
Lots of work. Lots and lots and lots of work. The day job is definitely been keeping me up at night, so to speak.
The horror.
Yeah. But that and I got a new laptop. We get a bonus usually come March for work, and I never spend any money on myself ever. And I've been eyeing laptops for a while. I needed a new one. Both of my laptops are pretty much kaput. Mm-hmm. And I'm not allowed to use my work laptop for anything except work.
Well, that makes sense.
So I'm like, I need a new laptop. Erica said, you know, you've been looking at laptops for 6 months. Just buy one and shut up. You've earned it. You've earned the money yourself. Just go do it. So I did. I got a Acer. It's called a Nitro 5. It's got a NVIDIA 1050 video card in it. Not top of the line gaming card, but I can definitely play games on it. So that's nice, which was not one of my goals, but that it's a plus. And that came this week. And it's amazing. I ordered it because on Amazon, and bam, I got it overnighted to me for an extra like $5 because I'm a Prime member. I was like, oh, it was like, it'll either be there Sunday, or if you overnight it, it will be there like Friday morning. And I went, for $5 more, I might as well. I'm paying like $700 for this.
Yeah.
I can swing $5 more.
Yeah. What's a latte at Starbucks? $5.95, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and this is the thing that I don't understand. For those of you that are just tuning in for the very first time, I run a small publishing business and deal with shipping all the time. Books are not that much different in size and weight than laptops, give or take a little bit. The thought of overnighting something for $5 blows my mind.
Yep. And Amazon pays for it.
Well, I mean, but see, and I guess that's just that's the benefit of being a ginormous company like Amazon, with your fingers in all the pies. You know, the pie that's being eaten by everybody gets refilled by the pie that's just like a cash cow, like say streaming content and stuff like that. That doesn't really cost you anything in a physical thing. Doesn't have any shipping costs, that sort of thing. I mean, I need to get into distributing more digital stuff because that seems to be where the money's at.
I will say, this holiday time and last year's holiday time, my brother-in-law lives in Seattle for work, and my wife and I try to send him packages at Christmas time and his birthday and stuff, and we don't send light things. And I've been really impressed with, they're not overnighting, but I've been really impressed with FedEx's prices compared to everybody else. When I took the same package to UPS and got a quote, and they wanted something like $65. I went to the post office and they wanted something like $45. And then I went to FedEx and FedEx was like $12. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? They're like, eh, whatever, $12.
Yeah.
We'll ship your package. And I was like, how can, like, they're not even trying to compete with each other.
No, no. And see, and this is the thing, like, people either don't have access to FedEx or they're just, there's different requirements. And so for me, like, a lot of our hiccups come with shipping overseas with Forge Publishing.
Right.
The United States, I have to tip my hat to the fact that they have a book rate, which is nice. So when you say it is a book, you get a cheaper packaging rate because you're distributing literature, which is fantastic. So really, it's like $6 or $8 American to send a book anywhere in the continental U.S. I don't think that includes Hawaii and Alaska, but we don't really get that many people buying from Hawaii and Alaska anyway. But when 85% of our products are going out to the U.S., it makes a lot of sense. Now, the moment that leaves the U.S. border, doesn't even have to hop an ocean. The moment it comes to Canada, that goes to like 15 or 20 U.S. And then overseas is like 25 U.S., which is in Canadian money, that's like $35. And when you're dealing with a book that only costs $30 U.S., putting $25 shipping on it is kind of bananas, right?
Yeah.
So now I don't deal with the shipping company themselves. Those are all prices that I get through Dave Michael, who runs Sales Geeks and Consulting. So he does the fulfillment and stuff for Forge. And if anybody out there is an up and coming artist and you want to start distributing prints and things like that, and most of your people are in the U.S., I highly, highly recommend Dave because he does all the research. Like it's better for him to be able to know what the best prices are and offer those to his clients. And then have you, the client, just have a one-stop shop with Dave. He's got the boxes and the processes and he's got it all down. So it's just one price to me. So $25 isn't just the shipping. That's the shipping plus the box plus Dave's fee and everything else. But still, like it's worth it to me to do it that way.
Right.
But when I go and do something myself, like when I go walk down to Canada Post, I'm stuck with the same sort of reaction. Like same thing as you going into USPS. You know, it's just like, whoa, what? So I have a few things I actually have to send to Piper in the next month or so. And I, you know, now that you mention it, I should really shop around and figure out what the best rate is going to be.
Yeah, we sent stuff to my brother-in-law before, and I'd used UPS, and they seemed really expensive. I used to ship stuff for my work. I used to work in the mail department, and our prices always seemed pretty low, and I knew that we got a discount because we were a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And it still seemed ridiculous that I was getting charged what I was for UPS. So that was why I went to the post office, and then I went to FedEx, because I was like, you know, it's got to be cheaper somewhere. And as soon as I talked to FedEx, that's where I go now. There's a FedEx place right around the corner from where I work. So anytime my wife needs to ship something to my brother-in-law, or her dad, because he's in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I usually just zip over there, and it's usually like a fraction of what I'm expecting it to cost.
Yeah, and then what's really expensive is the home to home, like that's the stuff that gets pricey because like when we shipped books, from like the printer in Utah all the way to Virginia for the fulfillment house, like it was a truck, and it was something around $1,000 American plus tax, which is roughly $1 a book. Right.
Damn.
Right. So, I mean, it was super cheap, but it's also when you're shipping more than one thing and, it was a business address recipient, right? That truck didn't go into the city and find cul-de-sac, you know, address B, you know, like it was to a warehouse kind of loading bay situation. But it's like, and that's the thing, like if you can find those kind of opportunities, then you can reduce things. I don't know that many of our listeners are into shipping, but if you are, write me and let me know, especially if you're in Canada, because I've got my U.S. stuff nailed down through Dave. But whenever I ship stuff in Canada, I often try to do it myself because I don't have to worry about the exchange. And if I can find it, usually it's better for me to ship within Canada. Same idea. It's the reverse. Like if I send a book of my own, like a Starcross book, and actually someone ordered one the other day, which is really, really cool. When I send that in Canada, it's something like $5 or $6. But to send it to the US, it's like 10 or 12, right? Like it almost doubles because of the border and everything else. Anyway, as interesting as all that is, speaking of packages, and this is going to tie in quite nicely. Now, I haven't finished the first episode. I had planned on watching more, but as you and I were talking pre-show, my day yesterday got away from me. And I also have just not been sitting down to watch traditional kind of television in its, you know, current form very much.
Right.
But you and I have both dipped into Jessica Jones. And by dipped in, I mean you've watched the whole thing.
Yes, I am all done, beginning to end.
So I am probably about 2/3 of the way through the first episode of season 2. So this is going to be a spoiler-free talk about Jessica Jones if you're listening and you haven't watched it or if you haven't finished it. We're not going to get into too much detail in that way. However, I can already tell from the first episode that I'm going to like this season even more than the first. And I like the first quite a bit.
I will tell you right now, when we finished, Erica and I finished it over the weekend, we both looked at each other when it wrapped up and went, wow, this season is probably better than the first.
Nice.
It goes in directions and it's a different kind of story. It is still, a detective noir story with some people with superpowers, which is what I really liked about the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's light on the powers.
Yeah. Well, this season is a little more on the powers, but yeah, in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and say this without spoiling it, but the story seems like it's going in one direction. And then about halfway through, it goes in a different direction. And when it wraps up at the end, it points you in another direction. And you go, huh, I think I know what they're lining up for the next season.
Cool.
And it's all done in a really nice way.
I think that's the strength of a lot of these Marvel shows is that they're not episodic. You know, I haven't even looked to see how many episodes are in season 2. 10, 12, something like that.
I think it's 12 or 13.
Yeah. So they don't try to make 26 episodes. They don't try to make each episode its own standalone.
No.
They're always aiming at a larger story. In some cases, it's not even a larger story for the season. It's a larger story for multiple seasons.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that about the writing. And something that I caught right away, probably because I've been a little bit more aware of it because of all the goings on in Hollywood, which is a good thing. But first episode, written by and directed by women.
Yes.
And
the showrunner is a woman, I believe.
Yeah. And there's only been 2 male characters so far in lead or, you know, antagonist roles. Like
there's more male characters in this season. They're not the heroes though.
No, like Malcolm Dukas.
Yes.
Her assistant, the guy that plays her assistant.
He is a much bigger role in this season.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And again, like I remember the tail end of last season, he was kind of coming up and kind of muscling his way into being her assistant.
And
I like the fact that her assistant isn't a girl. Like I like that, you know, I like that it's a dude and like he's the underling.
Yes.
You know, I like the way that they structure that. But again, it's only been one episode, but I remember watching Kristen Ritter in The Defenders. So it's not been years since I've seen Jessica Jones. It's just that I've not seen a Jessica Jones series in a couple
of
years.
It's been 2 years, I
Yeah,
think.
2 years, yeah. 2015, I think, was when the first one came out.
Yeah.
But she's really good. I mean, it's Jessica Jones. If you've seen any of the episodes or seen her in anything else, she's just moody.
Yeah.
Which is part of her charm. But right away, like, you start off with, like, okay, ho-hum, you know, and this isn't a spoiler. Like, she drinks a lot. She complains a lot. She's kind of grumpy. It's kind of the shtick. And you're like, oh, God.
It's the shtick, but I will tell you, without spoiling too much, By the end of the season, you can see her character is going to make a change.
Oh, you get that in the first 35 minutes. They kind of hammer you over the head with it a little bit with the whole vigilante superhero is a term thrown around a lot. And what's the other thing that they say a lot? The thing is, like, she's now become this thing. And right now it feels like the decision she's going to have to make this season is she going to fight this thing, this superhero thing, or is she going to accept this thing? And that seems to be the conversation that her and her sister are having throughout the first 30, 35 minutes.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying personality-wise, by the end of the season, she's not going to be the same person in season 3.
Cool. I like character arcs. And honestly, I don't want to watch an entire season of her being grumpy Jessica drunk face. You know, there's a couple of moments in even this season, this episode. I really enjoy how she has a fight with somebody and she's all bravado and just rough, you know, and get out of my face and stuff. And then they'll have a character moment later on and she won't necessarily have like a pink, you know, fluffy calm down moment, but she'll just have this like roll her eyes, you know, damn it.
I gotta do the right thing.
Yeah, I gotta do the right thing or frig their right or, you know, that's something she hates it, but like she does it anyway.
Yeah.
And what I like about Jessica Jones specifically as a character is that she's flawed. You know, like yes. It's not Superman. She's not crystal perfect all the time. She makes mistakes. She makes big mistakes and she makes mistakes in the first episode. So like stuff like that, you're like, sweet. This is like, she gets held accountable. You know, like
The one thing I will say that I don't think is a spoiler. This is the first season of a Marvel Netflix show where Night Nurse does not make an appearance.
Oh, okay.
So I kept waiting for there to be a moment in which what's her name would show up. Rosario Dawson would have to show up and patch somebody up. Because
right.
Until this point, she has pretty much cameoed in everything except Punisher.
Right.
And Punisher kind of took place all over the place. So it made sense for her to not.
Yeah.
You know, appearance. But this is another one where she does not make an appearance like she did in the first season, which I thought was interesting. I don't think that's a spoiler.
Have I seen her? Oh, she was in the second season of Daredevil though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's because I'm remembering her in Punisher, but not from Punisher, because I didn't watch Punisher. It's from season 2 of Daredevil.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Netflix and Marvel are really, they really got a lot of stuff out now. I mean, there's 2 seasons of Daredevil. There's 2 seasons of Jessica Jones. There's Luke Cage.
Season 2 of Luke Cage is June.
Is it June already? Wow. Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be June 22nd.
Cool.
And they've released a trailer for that already. It's just a teaser. Hmm. And it's just somebody singing a song about Luke Cage, and he's looking at a camera with his hoodie up, and he's like, if you're out there and you're doing bad things, better watch your back. I'm back. And then he punches the camera and that's the end of it.
Nice. Yeah. I like the bravado in Luke Cage. I think it was good. He was one of the stronger stories and characters in Defenders.
Yes.
I enjoyed Luke and Daredevil. I think Luke and Murdoch, Matt Murdoch, were my 2 favorite characters in Defenders.
I know Kristen Ritter was interviewed recently about this and she said she doesn't know if they will do a Defenders season 2.
I don't.
She said it is not in her contract right now, and no one has approached the topic with her. She knows that there may be plans for her and others to cameo in the other shows.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know if there is any plans, any future plans for them to team up again. But she said that she's not against the idea. She had a ball doing it. So.
Yeah, I think they have to fix Iron Fist. Like, I think that's the...
I think that's part of the problem.
There's
also another rumor they're going to be adding another hero to the Netflix heroes list.
Oh, cool.
I think they're planning on having to remove Iron Fist if season 2 doesn't do well.
Mm. Who's the other hero that they're trying to add, you know?
I don't. I just know that there's a bunch of rumors floating around that they're looking to add another hero.
I like comics and heroes and stuff, but I'm not such a big comic nerd that I can even tell you like who is actually in the Defenders or who have been the almost every there's Marvel been, character has been an Avenger at some point, right?
There's the rumor that's been floating around for the last few years is that Netflix wants to bring Moon Knight in as one of the Defenders and in one of the Netflix series. But that's just the rumor. That's been floated around since Daredevil season one, but nobody knows if Netflix was going to get the rights to do that.
Yeah. The problem with the Netflix stuff now and how popular it is that when you go
and Marvel's looking to do their own show, distribution thing, which if they do, they might pull all this stuff off Netflix and put it on their own thing.
Yeah. Well, that's similar to Disney, which is, owned by, or Disney owns Marvel now, right?
So. Well, Disney wants to create their own streaming service and pull all the Marvel stuff with it.
Yeah, so I'm looking at a cover of The Defenders from, I don't know what year, but it's got the Mariner, Hulk,
yep, Submariner,
Hulk, and Doctor Strange on the cover. So
yep, Doctor Strange has almost always been a Defender and not an Avenger.
Huh, I did not know that. I'm just looking for a list to see. Original incarnation was led by Doctor Strange.
Yep.
Included the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Valkyrie, Nighthawk, Hellcat, Gargoyle, Beast, the Son of Satan, and Luke Cage. Huh.
Wow. Yep, Luke Cage has almost always been a Defender as well.
That's cool. I don't know who... Is Valkyrie, that's the one from the Thor movie, right? That's the...
Yes.
Yeah, that's the... Well, they call her Valkyrie is her comic name, but Valkyrie was also her position. She was a Valkyrie,
and then she's the last of her, the last of them.
Right, very cool, very cool. I've got some Wikipedia articles to read after this. I mean, I'm down for most Marvel shows. The only one I could not get into is
Iron Fist.
So you
didn't like Punisher?
I got into Iron Fist because I liked the idea of Iron Fist. I stopped because the show itself was bad. I like the idea of the character, and I'm sure the comics are good, but I didn't like the actor, and I didn't like the writing. And I'm not laying at the feet of any one individual. I'm just saying that it was just not a good show compared to the bar that was set by Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones.
Right.
But then Punisher... The people that like Punisher like that Punisher series. I don't like those kind of anti-heroes. I've decided that that's kind of where I land on stuff like that. It's the same thing I was talking about last week with Hammond about Bright. I don't like Will Smith's character in that particular film because he's a jerk. Like, I prefer heroes. Even if they're down on their luck and getting the shit stick, I prefer that they're at least trying to do the good thing, not just out for themselves. And when I want to escape into a superhero comic movie or something like that, I don't want to watch Frank, I can't remember his last name, Frank, the Punisher.
Frank Castle.
I don't want to watch Frank Castle kill people. Like, that's not a fun escape.
The one thing I will say, how much of Punisher did you watch?
Maybe one episode. Maybe two.
He does not kill a whole lot of people.
No.
The first episode, we both, Erica and I, looked at each other and went, there were some cool moments, but I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
And then about three episodes in, they make him more endearing. And the only guys he kills are guys that are there to kill him.
Yeah, no, and I can...
And you go, oh, okay, he's trying to hesitate to not kill people. And they start sending him to, like... he starts visiting, what's it called? Group therapy sessions for people that have...
PTSD and stuff, yeah.
And they do a really good job with that. And a couple of those people end up involved in the story as the season goes on. And they make him... He's not the monster he is in the season of Daredevil that he was in.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see them taking it that way.
They're already filming the next season of him. It started last week.
I've had people say that they liked it. I think it's when I sit down lately.
It's not you can't I understand.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with mood. I also, like, I find that myself even being less inclined to watch movies that are similar to 1980s action shoot-ups. You know, like, I tried to watch, what's the one with Stallone and all the big guys from the 80s that they do?
Expendables.
Wow, that's terrible. The Expendables. So I tried to watch the Expendables 3, and it was bad.
Oh, it's bad. That's the kind of the worst of the bunch.
I liked the first one. The first one was kind of fun. But like, even then, like, I'm thinking, like, yeah, I could watch something action. I just wanted something actiony, like, you know, kind of turn your brain off and just kind of eye candy. But a lot of it was like, man, this is just violent for the sake of being violent. It's not even violent for good reasons, you know? Mm-hmm. And, and I just, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm just not as in tune with that kind of stuff anymore. And, I mean, when we move on to talk about the other thing that I've been watching this week, you'll see the stark difference. But yeah, I think a lot of it is just paralyzing choice, not having the time. And, well, I shouldn't say not having the time, just not wanting to take the time to sit down through, you know, 5-6 episodes of The Punisher to see if I like it, you know, like, it's,
yeah, I understand,
you know, I mean, if I got sick and I had to spend the day on the couch, I might give it a go. But, you know, like, I'm more inclined to watch things like Jurassic World and something a little bit more adventurous as opposed to so dark.
Mm-hmm.
Although, again, I like Jessica Jones. I mean, I got in the mood for Jessica Jones the moment that they started playing that cool kind of like gumshoe theme music and her intro. Now, did they change the intro from the first season?
I think they did. It's the same tune, and I think they've changed some of the visualness of it.
Yeah, okay.
But to reflect the basically like the cast change.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure there was the Purple Man.
Oh, right.
In the first opening season.
Yeah.
Trip,
I'd have to go back and watch it. I'm sure you can find a YouTube video of it. I'm curious just because it felt familiar, but then it also felt new. And I know they did that with Daredevil. They put out new, I think they did a new Daredevil intro, didn't they, for season two?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do one for each season, I think.
Yeah. Which is fantastic because they're wonderful. Beautiful intros, like visually they're stunning and very comic-y. Like they definitely pay homage to the source material, and they just kind of get you in the mood. Actually, watching the intro to Jessica Jones made me miss Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, made me miss that kind of vibe, you know, from a show. Well, the other thing that I've been watching is some YouTube stuff for Minecraft, and this will be a short recommendation because there's really not a whole lot to say about it. You really just have to go watch it for yourself. His name is Zedaf. That's the screen handle he goes by, and the YouTube channel is Zedaf Plays, all one word. He is a member of the Hermitcraft server. He is Minecraft YouTuber. He does other stuff, but I only watch the Hermitcraft stuff that he does. And he does aim his content at a younger audience. If you've got kids that are in like the 10 to 12 or 10 to 14 range that are into this kind of stuff, he's going to be right up their alley. It's not like super kid friendly and like 6-year-olds are going to watch it because he talks about, you know, cows having sex when he's breeding them. And he talks about murdering cows when he has to harvest them and you know, cook their meat and stuff like that. He kind of pulls the piss for a better, you know, lack of a better term. He's British, so he's got a pretty dry sense of humor. And a lot of his stuff is very helter-skelter. So, like, there's some stuff in the game that can be kind of mundane, farming and collecting resources and stuff like that. But he makes it really fun because he is off the wall silly. So you got to be in the right mood. Like, there has definitely been times when I've sat down to watch the next episode and been like, nope, I am not in the mood for silly Zedaf today. Like, I need somebody a little bit more chill. To draw a comparison, it is like watching a Minecraft video as if the person playing Minecraft is Doug the dog from the Pixar movie Up.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Now, you say it's not in a bad way, because he's not like that the whole episode. See, this is the thing that I find so hard and why I try to recommend some Minecraft people on YouTube on this show, is because I've had to fight tooth and nail to find people that I actually like, that I can stomach listening to for more than 2 minutes. And at first, I was like, oh God, I'm not sure if I'm going to be into this guy. But the rewards themselves are there, and you just have to watch the whole episode. Because, similar to my Pixar analogy, the rewards are the adult aimed jokes from those Pixar movies. Like every once in a while, he'll just pick up on something and he'll say something off the cuff. He'll, just before he moves on from whatever he's doing, he'll say some little side comment, and it's like a pun or like a dad joke or like, and it is very funny. He's very clever. Right. He's very witty. It's, everything is very off the cuff. You can tell he just kind of spitballs and does whatever. He might even mispronounce a word, and then he just stops himself and is like, really? That just came out of my mouth. It's a very transparent, I guess, way of doing a YouTube channel. I find him very entertaining. It's fun. If you need something light and you want to be able to watch it with kids and have a fun time and get something out of it yourself, I would highly recommend ZF Plays. He's also a very adept Minecraft player. Like, he's not just silly. You know, he's not just silly. He really is good at things like redstone. He's a cool designer, but he doesn't design things to death in like some other world and then say, okay, today we're going to build this, and then just like construct this perfect thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to build this thing. I think it'll fit there. If it doesn't fit there, we'll make it. Like, he's like, I don't have time to plan this thing. We're just going to go for it. And it's Minecraft. Yeah. If we don't like it, we can just move it. And so he gets himself into these situations where he's like, I didn't think this through. I don't have enough room to do both of these things at once. And he's like, so it's like that scene from Friends where, you know, Joey's got like, you know, something in one hand and something in the other. And he puts his hands together like, yes, together, you know? This is what he does. It's like, well, this particular area of my base doesn't really go with this area, but we're going to make a combined area and it's just going to be amazing. And then he's like, I think, you know, like, cause he really doesn't know because it's happening live with you. So really it's not even just that it's a Minecraft thing. It's a kind of a really cool lesson in sandbox gaming in general. And like, you know, if you go in there with a super tight plan, you might not have as much fun, you know, like, right. You might not be able to enjoy these kinds of games the same way. And the other thing I really enjoy about him, and this is where the more adult side comes out, where he'll do something that's very complicated, like a redstone farm or some really complex build. And as he's doing it, or just after he's done it, he will explain it. But he explains it in a very, it's a very good way. Like, it almost makes me think that he might have training as a teacher or something.
Probably.
You know, and he just, like, he explains things in a way that even if you're new to the channel, it's perfect. If you're not new to the channel, he's not condescending about it. And right. The problem that I find with some of the other people that I try to watch is that they'll talk about something complex, but they talk about it in a lot of lingo and they kind of glaze over this, like, oh yeah, this is an AND gate and blah, 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 blah. And they just kind of go over it and you're like, well, great. Now I got three other things I have to look up because I don't know what you just said. But at least with ZF, like he understands that, you know, because his audience may be a little bit younger, things just need just that little bit more explanation. So it's fantastic if you're newish to the game. I've been playing for a year, but it's if you're still not, you know, honed on all the different nuances of the game, then I think he'd be a really, really good guy to watch. And I like kind of just juxtaposing content like Jessica Jones with, like, you know, something really kid friendly and accessible like ZF Plays. So yeah, check it out. It's ZF Plays on YouTube. So what else have you been watching in the last little while?
Well, I've been watching, my wife found this on Netflix. It's called Ugly Delicious. There is a chef out of New York City. His name's David Chang. PBS had him on, I think it was like Mind of a Chef or Master Chef. They did a whole season on him where they basically followed him around and learned different cuisines. And the whole season revolves around like different ways to cook eggs or some weird thing. And we watched it. My wife really, really liked him specifically. She thought he was funny. She thought he was the perfect person for like a TV show host. Lo and behold, Netflix did his show like 2 or 3 years ago, and they brought him on for one whole episode. And it was my wife's favorite episode of the show. Well, Ugly Delicious is his new show on Netflix. He's the owner of a restaurant out of New York City called Momofuku. It's like a noodle bar.
Okay.
And they've expanded to where there's like 4 of them in New York City now. And there's one in D.C. I think there's one in Toronto now. and there's one in Las Vegas, and he is the owner of all of them, and he started from very humble roots. So he owns all these restaurants, and he's kind of like, I hate everything we do in restaurants.
Right.
The whole idea behind the show is...
We
is
meaning they, the royal we of yes, like the U.S. in
like,
general.
Like, yes. And he says even things he does in his own restaurants, he hates them because he thinks that people pay too much for the atmosphere when you're really paying for cheap ingredients and you don't realize it and stuff.
Yeah.
And the idea is to give you something that looks real pretty, but if you knew what it actually cost the restaurant to feed you, you're paying through the nose. And so Ugly Delicious is kind of his forte, where they take an idea that, you know, there's an entire episode about crawfish and shrimp and Louisiana style cooking of such things.
Right.
And how there is if you go to Houston, there's a bunch of Vietnamese that have decided to borrow Creole cooking and mix it with Vietnamese cooking. And they're doing like this Vietnamese Creole cooking. But if you take what they're doing and you put it in Louisiana, no one will go to their restaurant because it's not traditional.
Right.
And how you travel like 4 hours away and it's like the biggest thing since sliced bread in Houston right now. And like they interview all these people and they talk about how things are made. And like they go into like history of what crawfish and shrimp differences are. At one point they fly out to like Japan to see one of the people that's doing Creole Vietnamese cooking has taken what they learned in Houston and flown to like Hong Kong and has set up a shop in Hong Kong and is doing it out there, and it's becoming really popular. And like in each episode is on a different style of cooking. And they even do one where it's home cooking and how you don't get the same kind of food you get from home cooking as you do in a restaurant. And they he cooks Thanksgiving dinner with his mother because he's Korean. And they cook what his family has always made for Thanksgiving dinner, which is a mix of both the American turkey and whatnot and Korean meat cuisine mixed together. Huh. And it's him and his best friend go to his mother's house and they help her make, it takes 2 days for them to cook it all.
Wow.
To help her make Thanksgiving dinner. And like that, they cut between that and then other things, segments, but then it cuts back to them at the kitchen table, like helping her do this, making this. And then his best friend, who is American, is like helping make dumplings. And the mother's like, no, 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 you suck at dumplings. Go over here and do this instead. And like, it's really funny. And, like, there's a lot of charm and character to it. And you don't always agree with what he has to say, but you never get the opinion that that's wrong. It's just his opinion on something. And he really looks down a lot at traditional chefs and stuff and how they, like, you know, the average person can learn to do a lot of what they do in restaurants. And that's his philosophy on it. And it's really, it's an interesting, there's 7 episodes. And it looks like they started filming it sometime in 2016, like the end of 2016. And it took them like a year and a half to put like the 7 or 8 episodes together.
Wow.
I mean, lot of fun.
I'm not a big reality TV show guy, but it sounds like more of a documentary.
It's more of a documentary. In fact, that's what they call it. It's a food documentary series.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I love food. Anybody that follows me on Instagram will know that.
I don't do seafood. So even when they were doing,
you live
seafood,
in Maine.
I know. I don't do seafood. But when they did the seafood stuff, it was still interesting, despite the fact I don't like seafood.
Yeah. I don't do seafood a lot because it's expensive, even around here. For those of you that don't know, here is very close to Maine. Nova Scotia and Maine are basically neighbors.
If I was to take a boat, I could be in Nova Scotia in like 3 hours.
Yes. Yeah. It would not take very long.
Yeah.
The thing that I've always find that makes me cautious about, food documentaries and stuff like that is that, and this may sound terrible, I'm blissfully ignorant about a lot of stuff. I don't necessarily want to know where all the food comes from.
They don't really like show the butchering fields or anything like that.
Oh, I don't care about that. It's less about that. It's more about I am well aware that the steak or the chicken that I'm eating came from an animal. I am fine with that. It's got nothing to do with that. It's more about just like, you know, processed stuff. Although I don't eat a lot of processed stuff, but like just the general food chain of like getting food from where the food becomes food to the supermarket and all the different things it goes through and all that kind of stuff. And it's, again, like, it's not like I'm aware that it's probably not a perfect process. I just don't need all the details of the imperfect process shoved in my face, which is probably sounds probably like a horribly, you know, ignorant and irresponsible thing to say, but I food is a very nice break for me. It's one of the few times during the day that I stop working and just kind of enjoy doing something else. I enjoy cooking, you know, and I don't want to have to drill down into the minutia of all that kind of stuff.
No, I love to cook. In fact, sometimes my wife and I have to fight over who's going to do the cooking. Nice. And then in that case, we usually end up one person will do one thing and the other person will do the other half of the
thing. Yeah.
And it gets done in half the time.
I really enjoy it. I get self-conscious if it's something that I've not done before. And that's when I say, well, I want to help because I enjoy the process. Give me something to chop. Like, I'll be the sous chef. If you know what you're doing, then I can do all the prep.
Yeah. And what I enjoy cooking shows is I enjoy cooking shows that give me new ideas.
Hmm. And this sounds like it would do that.
And that's exactly what this did. Like, there was different ways of making things that, while they don't go into huge details about, like, it's not a traditional cooking show where they're going to show you how to make a meal.
Right.
But they will talk about the various ways people do stuff or different things. And you'll be like, you know, I never thought about doing it that way. If I did this that way, then it would change X, Y, and Z. And this show, it was an educational experience.
Cool. I'm going to bookmark that right now. I tried looking at their website, not Ugly and Delicious or Ugly Delicious. So there's no word in between. It's just Ugly Delicious is the name of the show.
Yeah.
But I tried looking up the restaurant, the Momofuku or Fuku.
Yeah.
And their website is basically all the things that he must hate about the restaurant. It is nothing but marketing bullshit. Like, there is no information other than how much it costs to get a tasting and a wine tasting at expensive places in New York City. Like, it is all kinds of...
He literally says, and there's an episode, it's one of the last episodes they do, and they're talking about Italian cuisine. There's an entire episode where they talk about dumplings and ravioli, and how he doesn't think there's a whole lot of difference between the idea of a dumpling and a ravioli, and how you can go to a restaurant in downtown New York City that's like a ramen shop, that's not his ramen shop, but like a ramen shop, and spend like $10 on a meal. Or you can go to the Italian place and they're charging you $35 a plate.
Yeah.
And it was probably more expensive for the guy in the ramen shop than it was for the Italian place to make you their meal.
Yeah. He's probably not hating his paycheck from his restaurants, though. Like, they look pretty pricey.
You know, and he actually goes, there's a lot of stuff I just hate. He goes, unfortunately, we do it in my restaurant. I'm not going to lie. He goes, but that's what people want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the thing is, there's always that balance, right? Like, it's the same thing. I have this discussion when we talk about fan art on different podcasts. We had this conversation on Comics Coast to Coast a few weeks ago with Phil Root in that, you know, sure, I have fun doing fan art. It's a little frustrating sometimes that when I do fan art that it gets more attention than my original content. Mm-hmm. But it's not like I don't enjoy doing it. But it's one of these things that it's like a necessary thing to do to get more eyes on you. And so things like Ugly Delicious would probably not be a thing if, one, he didn't have experiences in the restaurant business that he didn't like. And two, he wouldn't have the financial freedom to do this show if his restaurants weren't doing astronomically well. Right?
Right.
Like, he has to have a certain cashability for Netflix to even do a series with him, right? So, I see the balance. Like, I understand. I'm not calling him a fraud or anything like that, but I think I can see how, you know, the chicken has to come before the egg sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
It's definitely worth your watch. We basically, It was like we watched two episodes of regular shows, and we'd be like, oh, okay, we have time to fit in another episode of Ugly Delicious before bed. And that was kind of our routine for about a week.
Nice.
And it literally just came out like 2 weeks ago on Netflix.
Right on.
We didn't even – and it came out with like no like flair. My wife is always just looking for new cooking shows, and she was like, hey, did you see this? And I'm like, no. She's like, I think this is what we're going to watch the next two nights. And I'm like, okay.
Man, there are – sometimes I get emails from just like, really, Netflix? You're recommending this to me? And then other times I log in and it's like, how did you not tell me that Jurassic World was on Netflix?
I have something to recommend that it's real quick. Did you ever watch Talk Soup?
No.
Have you ever heard of Talk Soup?
No.
It is a show that has been on TV here in America on the E Network for the last, like, I think I was in middle school when the show originally aired. And one of the last hosts was Joel McHale from Community. Yep. And a couple. And E fired him. And the idea is that they pull a bunch of clips from like really bad reality TV shows, and then he makes fun of them. It's basically a 30-minute clip show, and it is the funniest 30 minutes you'll ever watch on TV. You'll never want to watch any of these reality TV shows. But he was fired because he started making fun of stuff they didn't want him making fun of. And the show has had various hosts over the years, and they brought in somebody else to replace him, and the show basically got canceled the next season after he left. And Netflix stepped in recently and gave him his own show again, and it's called The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, and it is Talk Soup without the name Talk Soup.
Okay.
And it's weekly. They pull clips from news, like reality TV shows, news set, like they pull stuff from like clips from like Ellen or other TV shows where like somebody says something completely ridiculous that you don't expect them to say that like no news network is going to cover. Right. And then they'll play the clip and he'll be like, so what I'm gathering is they're racist. and you'll be or other things. And he gets celebrity guests to make appearances and stuff. And it's pretty funny, and they do it weekly, so it only updates every week. They've got about 5 episodes now. It's been running for a little over a month. It's definitely worth the watch, and it's 30 minutes, and they put them up every Sunday.
Cool. I will have to check it out. I need to start surfing Netflix on the web, because as you've been talking, I've been looking these things up on Netflix, and I'm doing it on my desktop, and normally I surf on the Apple TV. And I already am finding that not only has one, but two new episodes of the new David Letterman show have come out.
Yes.
I didn't know this. Like,
Yes.
Netflix
you
on.
Watched,
I
you
I loved watched the first one.
Okay.
Loved it.
I've watched the second one. I have not watched the third one yet.
So the third one was something I was really looking forward to. I unfortunately don't remember her name. I mentioned it here on the show, but I had the Wikipedia article open, and I also had a way to pronounce her name open. So so I don't want to attempt it from memory now. But she's like a Nobel Prize winner. Like he has yes. these phenomenal, phenomenal guests. And it's I'm really looking forward to enjoying that. See, because that's the kind of getaway that I want. You know, like when I sit down and I think, I can watch George Clooney talk to David Letterman for an hour, or I can watch The Punisher to see if I like it. I'm probably going to go with David Letterman. And that's just kind of where I am right now. God, there's so much happening with Netflix original content. It's not bad, but it gets kind of paralyzing. Like there's just so much.
And I will say right now, there's a lot of it that isn't good. I tried to watch the Marlon Wayans stand-up special, and I watched about 15 minutes of it, and I didn't laugh once, and I was like, that's my cue to stop.
Yeah.
And it's not for me.
Yeah.
His jokes were not directed at my sense of humor. In the opposite, I watched the Chris Rock special, and the first half is really funny. There is a bunch of dud jokes in the middle, and then he wraps up real funny. And I had a great time with it.
Yeah.
But
I watched the Dave Chappelle stand-up ones. And yeah. I enjoyed them. I would say they're less comedy and more social commentary with some humorous bites. But it's mostly him saying, like, look, people, we got to start fixing some stuff. But
I feel like he's taking a book out of George Carlin. A
little bit. Yeah. A little bit. And I think, too, the problem is that, unfortunately, because I watch those, I'm getting a lot of recommendations now for stand-up stuff. I've tried to watch some other stand-up stuff.
I'm very picky.
That are Netflix original content. Like, they've got the comedian to do their own show. And I have to say, like, I think they're putting some of these comedians out there before they're really ready.
Yes.
Or I can't remember his name. He's been a guest on the Graham Norton show a number of times. He's a British comedian. He might be 28 if he's that old.
Whitehall?
Yes.
He's really funny.
He, in stand-up form? Not at all.
Really?
No, I wanted to freaking throw him off the stage. I didn't enjoy his stuff in the slightest. But, like, when he's on the talk show with Graham Norton, he kills me. Like, I find that he's more funny improv, like, off the cuff and hanging out with a bunch of people. He is just, over-processed in terms of his material when he's on stage. Like, it was reaching.
He wants to be an actor, so his stuff on stage is very rehearsed.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I haven't watched him in a movie, so I need to go see what movies he's been in.
He has a reality TV show on Netflix.
Not for me.
That it's not. My wife and I tried to watch it, and it's not funny. It's him and his dad is like the biggest British stick in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And they go places, and he basically tries to take his dad on adventures. And his dad's answer to everything is, this sucks. Why are we here?
Yeah.
And then he tries to make jokes of it, and his dad's like, you're not funny. Stop it. Shut up.
Yeah.
And you're like, and you're like, it was funny for about the first episode. And then when you get to the second episode, it doesn't change. It's the same jokes. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is kind of painful.
Yeah. I don't know where he gets the money or the fame or the attention that he gets these things made. You know, like
his father is a former agent to the stars.
Oh, okay. So that's probably how he, yeah.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, that is a funny situation if the next episode is somebody else he's taking on an adventure, right? Because then you don't know what's going to happen, right?
Right.
He takes his roommate from college. He takes his sister, or he takes his cousin, or he takes the lady that he met at the bank. You know, just that kind of stuff would at least be more interesting, if not funny. But once you've seen the episode with the dad, you're like, all right, well, I've seen the episode with the dad. It's like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Not always a great show. But
sometimes when he has the right guest, it's fabulous. When he has the wrong guest, you go,
I'm glad it's only 10 minutes.
There's supposed to be new episodes of that coming to Netflix soon.
I enjoyed the first two seasons, and I started to henpick with the later ones because I was like,
I only watch episodes with comedians I like.
Yeah. I was actually surprised, and that can sometimes backfire. I watched the one with Steve Martin, and it was not funny. Like, it was I shouldn't say it wasn't funny. It wasn't as funny as you thought it was going to be, right? And I think that was it's hard with the expectations because these people are not doing a film or not doing stand-up. They're just hanging out and talking shop about comedy. So, you know, in a way, it's not even aimed at us. It's aimed at other people in show business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like comics coast to coast. You get way more out of that if you are a diehard comic fan or a comic artist yourself, you know, or an artist of some sort.
See, my problem is when I was growing up, my mother loved stand-up comedy.
Mm.
So I literally, throughout the 80s and 90s, knew who every comic was. I knew what their shtick was. I knew their routines forward and backwards.
Yeah.
So I've always been into stand-up comedy. My problem is modern stand-up comedy, I find most of these guys aren't funny.
No, you're absolutely right.
Their jokes are not marketed towards me because they're not telling jokes. They're doing bits that are about things that I don't understand.
Yeah, and when the funniest thing in your sentence is a swear word, not a good joke.
It's not. Yeah, not a good show.
Yeah, no, I have the same. I tried to watch a Kevin Hart special, and it was funny in spots. I'll give him that. It was too long. Like, I feel like these Netflix comedy specials should be about 30 to 40 minutes, and they're often about an hour.
Yeah, I feel 45 minutes is about where they should stop.
Yeah. But what made me watch it is because I follow The Rock on Instagram, and I find him very entertaining. And a lot of times he's done, when he's doing a movie with Kevin Hart, he's doing little Instagram clips with Kevin Hart, and they're being, you know, they're joshing around and giving each other crap. And I find Kevin Hart in those situations very funny. And I thought, oh, okay. But it's just like a lot of times these people are funny in social situations, but when you put them in front of a audience and have nothing but their own stories, they're not that funny. You know, now I say that. I could not get up on stage and tell a joke to save my freaking life. So I'm coming at it from a entertain me standpoint, not a I could do it better than you standpoint. I barely make good jokes on this show for Pete's sake. But yeah, I've never really been a big stand-up person. Like, I've never really watched Saturday Night Live. I've seen clips. You know, like, I've watched some episodes, but not much. You know, I'm not, like, a diehard fan. I didn't get into 30 Rock. Like, for whatever reason, that kind of stuff just kind of floats by me. And it's weird because I write comedy. Like, I write jokes in a comic strip, and you'd think that I would be all over that kind of stuff. But for me, it's just not... I find that... I think I'm wondering if it's because I want to be funny in some of the work that I do that I just try to absorb other kinds of content and then make my own funny, maybe. I'm not really sure.
What I have learned over the years is I always wanted to be funny. I don't, my sense of humor is very dry or very in joke sensitive. Right. So my wife and I will laugh maniacally. My friends and I will laugh maniacally. But if I was to stand up and tell somebody a joke, they wouldn't understand half of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the in-joke stuff. That happens a lot with myself and some of the folks on the Minecraft server. You know, because we've been playing together for almost a year, like there's some stuff that's happened over time, and it's fun to bring up again, and that kind of stuff gets us giggling and whatnot. And it's funnier in a social situation, and it's kind of where I get my sense of humor is usually when it's a longer conversation as opposed to just like a one-liner. So I make a lot of puns, though. I will confess to that, especially when I'm texting people and I have just that little bit of extra time to come up with something funny. I get a lot of eye roll emojis when people reply. But that brings us into the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by you. If you are a fan of this show, if you are listening to us right now, which I hope you are, otherwise I'm not talking to anyone, which is troubling. Patreon is how I keep the show going. If you go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, then you can find out a way to become a patron. There are a couple of rewards. You get to be part of the Discord chat, which is super cool, and partake in that. If you want to, and you're a friend of mine, and we've been talking about it, and you want to join the Citadel Cafe Minecraft server, there's also a chat that goes on there. So even if you're not playing the game, you might learn a thing or two. So if you'd like to support the show, you can get in on that conversation as well. Right now, I believe we're at 13 patrons, which is fantastic. I'd love to see that hit 14 or 15 this month. If you're following the show and you find value in it, then please consider putting some value back. Much like this gentleman, Alistair McFly. Thank you very much, sir. We have been hanging out quite a bit lately in the Minecraft server, the Citadel. We have had Alistair on this show a couple times. He's been a patron for quite a while, and I wanted to give him a shout out and a thank you for all of the hard work that he does and the cool support that he puts out there. Go check out ohmyzod.com. Alistair has recently redone his coming soon, map of movies and TV shows that are kind of in the geek realm that are coming your way. And he does release dates, calendar dates, and then little mini reviews of what to expect. So if you're looking for some new stuff on the horizon, then check out ohmyzod.com. So for me, my pick this week is, surprise, surprise, Minecraft related. It's been a Minecraft kind of week. However, this is very accessible. Basically, when you're in the game, it's a very blocky, very low-end graphic kind of thing. However, there's a lot of creators out there that don't play the survival mode of the game, but they do stuff in creative. And they're treating Minecraft like a canvas, like a paint program. And they create some fantastic stuff. There was an article recently called Picture Perfect on Minecraft.net, and they featured artwork by this user by the name of Iskilla, Iskilla. So Iskilia, sorry. And there is a Minecraft render portfolio as well as a YouTube video of a build, I guess, that he put together called Amon, the Immortal Lands. And it is everything from a 19th century ship in the harbor to a giant with a staff at the mouth of the harbor. It's very Game of Thronesy. It's very fantasy. It's got glowing lighthouses and cool kind of like sculpture pieces. The build is huge. And then what he's done is he's exported from Minecraft, which I didn't know you could do, and brought it into a program like Blender, which is a 3D modeling program. But that allows you to apply render software to it and do ray tracing and do lighting and reflections on the water and make things look really, really nice. Now, it doesn't change the textures in the game so much because things are still blocks. Things are still like, you know, a leaf texture is still a block with leaf patterns on it. But what the rendering does, it renders the light and the shadows very realistically. It changes the colors as to how, you know, wood would look if sun was directly shining on it, sort of thing. So it still looks like Minecraft, but it looks like a model. It looks like it gives it a better sense of scale. So check out Iskilia. It is, we'll have links in the show notes, but it's a picture perfect on Minecraft.net. There's links to his portfolio and links to Amon, the Immortal Lands on YouTube. It's a very popular video. You can't miss it. If you just search for Amon, the Immortal Lands on YouTube, you'll absolutely find it. But it's only about 2 minutes, but it's worth, you know, it's worth checking out as they pan the camera around. Super, super cool stuff. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. If you would like to check out that Internet Minute, as well as the other things that Lou and I have talked about tonight, you can check out the website at thecitadelcafe.com, email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, and find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am doing on joelduggan.com. Find me by name on Instagram and Twitter would be the two major places. Instagram lately, I posted an image from a client of mine. Her name's Sonia. She decided to hire me to do fan art, actually, something that we mentioned earlier in the show. I did a Deadpool tattoo. I designed a chibi Deadpool tattoo hugging a unicorn. She sent me a video of the finished piece tattooed on her arm, and it is beautiful. They did a really, really good job. I unfortunately can't remember the name of the tattoo artist, but it is linked in the post. So if you go to Joel Duggan on Instagram, you'll see the video and check that out. And be sure to give a nod to the tattoo artist as well. She's tagged in the post and she did a fantastic, fantastic job. If you're looking to get a tattoo or a commission of any other kind, then get in touch with me. I am taking commissions right now. And if you like cartoons and art and stuff like that, then hey, why not get some original stuff for yourself? Lou, where can people find you and the awesome stuff that you were doing online?
The easiest place to find me is on social media under the name Busy Zombie Lord. That's pretty much me on all social media. And you can also find my show, Zombies Ate My Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on pretty much everything. And if you're watching Walking Dead, it's returned. And that's pretty much been our big topic every week. So tune in and listen to us discuss the good stuff, the bad stuff, and our future predictions on The Walking Dead.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.